This morning, as we were driving to lunch, Sling said, "Okay, you got us all." You said you had 7 points, and you were just on point number three, and you were half an hour into the lesson, and I thought, "Oh dear, where's he going with all this?" And then you said, "To be continued." So, but at any rate, here's the part two, the conclusion of this morning's lesson of things that we need to continue in. You may remember from this morning, we need to abide in the Word of Christ, we need to abide in the love of Christ, we need to abide in the grace of God. These are all things that we need to continue in. And depending on how you want to number this, if you want to start over with number 1, 2, 3, and 4, you want to continue on from this morning, this is number 4, 5, 6, and 7. But the first one we will deal with tonight is something else we need to continue in, something else we need to abide in, and that is abiding in faith, continuing in faith. In Acts chapter 14, we read about the missionary journeys once again. We referred to this this morning in chapter 13. But in chapter 14, you have some interesting things that are taking place regarding the missionary work of Paul and Barnabas and the great things that they were doing for the Lord. And on this particular occasion, as we look at chapter 14, if you will, move in the text to verse 19. If you look at verse 19, it says, "Then Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there," to where he was in Lystra. Jews from Antioch and Iconium, those who were opposed to the preaching of the gospel, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city. The next day, he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. I think I probably would have left the next day too. But you continue reading. "And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to," here it is, "continue in the faith, and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God." We see how this was not only an inspired message, but a very personal message, because the Apostle Paul, along with Barnabas, tells these people to continue in the faith, and that through many tribulations we enter the kingdom of God. You may recall where we started reading, Paul had been through a tremendous tribulation. They had dragged him out of the city. They had stoned him and left him for dead. And so he spoke not only by inspiration, he spoke by personal experience. And he also demonstrated by personal experience what it meant to continue in the faith. Because after all, if for your preaching and your teaching and your faith, people were dragging you out of the city and they were stoning you and leaving you for dead, might you give it a second thought as to whether you wanted to continue in this, whether you wanted to stay with this? But not Paul, not his determination, not his heart, not his mind. He said, "I will continue in the faith in spite of the persecutions, in spite of the difficulties." And so he became a living example of continuing in the faith. So when they exhorted these people and encouraged these people, and when they exhort and encourage you and me today, we see that it comes from his heart, because he went through these tribulations, he went through these trials, he went through these difficulties, and yet he continued in the faith. No one could look at the Apostle Paul and say, "Well, he says it, but he doesn't mean it." Because we know without a doubt, he said it and he meant it, because he lived it. In James chapter 1, we read, once again, very familiar words, that we, in verse 2, James 1 verse 2, should count it all joy when we fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of our faith produces patience, or long-suffering, perseverance. And so it is our faith that is key here, that we are being encouraged to continue in. We don't give up because of trials. We don't give up because of tribulations. We don't give up because of difficulties. We don't give up because of persecutions. We continue. We abide in the faith of Jesus Christ. And there may be challenges that would cause us to want to give up, but we continue. We also continue in spite of the fact that the Bible tells us in no uncertain terms that some people will not continue in the faith. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Now the Spirit speaks expressly." So this is very explicit. In some translations say explicitly. This is very clear. There's no denying this. "The Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times," the latter days, "some men would do what? Depart from the faith." They would not continue in the faith. They would be giving heed to seducing spirits and the doctrines of demons. In other words, false teaching. And that there would be those who would teach things that were not true, and they would leave the faith. And it says that they would depart from the faith, and yet we as children of God are encouraged to continue in the faith. Even though there will be difficulties, there will be persecutions, there will be trials, there will be challenges to our faith, we continue in the faith. Even though some that maybe we respect and love very much depart from the faith, and even though they may be influential in teaching something very different, and maybe they become very popular, and maybe very many people are listening to them, and they're gaining disciples of their own, we still continue in the faith. Jude, verse 3. Tells us that as Jude was preparing this letter, that he was actually going to write to them about something else, but that because of circumstances, the letter was now written to encourage these people to earnestly contend and also continue in the faith. And the article is there in the original, as it is in many other places, the faith, the body of doctrine that we hear, we believe, we obey, we follow, we live our lives by, and we stake our eternity on. So continue in the faith. Secondly, this evening, we want to think about abiding in and continuing in the goodness of God. In Romans chapters 9 through 11, there's an interesting discussion there that centers around the relationship between the Gentiles and the Jews. And there is much there that goes beyond the scope of this lesson, but it is teaching us that even if someone was not born a Jew, which would be all the Gentiles, God still had made the allowance and the provision for them to hear and believe the gospel and become Christians. And we notice in chapter 11 of Romans 11, verse 22, these words: "Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity on them which fell, severity, but toward you, goodness." Why? "If you continue in His goodness, otherwise you shall also be cut off." And it's not necessarily about the Jew and the Gentile, it's about all people who hear God. That if they continue in God's goodness and God's righteousness and God's holiness, then God's grace will be extended to them. No matter who they are, Gentile or Jew. The same on the other flip side. If Jew or Gentile does not listen to God, does not believe the gospel, does not follow God and His Son Jesus faithfully, they will be cut off. No matter who they are, Jew or Gentile. There is a universal application of the gospel. But notice the text tells us, for the purpose of this point we're making, that we should abide in, we should, as the text says, continue in His goodness. Continue in the goodness of God. After we have continued in the Word of Christ, the grace of God, the faith of God and the faith of Christ and the love of Christ, it becomes so much a part of our DNA that now we are striving to become like God. We are striving to become like our Master, Jesus. The Holy Spirit is instructing us and guiding us in all of this through the Word. And now we want to become like God. And so we want to continue in His goodness. There are so many passages, both in the Old and the New Testament, that we could turn to illustrate the goodness of God and how we need to continue in these characteristics that are described that represent the goodness of God. And yet, for our purpose this evening, just one passage that is very familiar to us, that most of us, if not all of us, almost know by heart. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And while goodness is also included in this list, there is more here that I think these nine characteristics that are described here that are called by inspiration the fruit of the Spirit, I think give us a very good representation of the goodness of God, at least a good beginning place, a starting place, a getting in place to know what we're continuing in. And as we think about that, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such, there is no law. The great lawmaker, of course, is God. And there is no law of man or God against these nine things. These are excellent benchmarks and characteristics for you and I to put in practice in our lives to show that we are continuing in the goodness of God. We're trying in every way possible to become like God. We are trying in every way possible to become like the Son of God. We wear His name, Christian, and we want to honor that name by living up to all the worthiness that it suggests. We need to continue, as Romans 11:22 tells us, in the goodness of God. Be good, like God's good. And have the goodness of God as part of your life. Start here and branch out to all the other places in the Bible where it talks about the goodness of God. And let's be like Him and continue in it and walk in it and abide in it and live in it. Number three for this evening, we want to continue to abide in prayer. Things that need to be continued by us, as we have looked at this evening, we need to continue in the faith, we need to continue in the goodness of God, and we need to continue in prayer. This needs to be continued by us. In Colossians chapter 4, there are several what we might call miscellaneous exhortations there. They're not necessarily directly related to one another. They are sentences that kind of shoot out at the end of that letter to the church at Colossae that encourage these brethren different things to do. And in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, you read that through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Christians are told, continue in prayer. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Continue in prayer and keep with thanksgiving. We know, perhaps even more commonly, the passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, that tells us to pray without ceasing, to always pray. One of the shortest verses in the New Testament gives us one of the longest concepts that we can imagine. To have that communion and communication with God. To build our faith, to build our connection and our relationship with God. With our Savior, we pray through Him. We pray to the Father. And when we pray, our thoughts, our heart, our mind is in the very throne room of God. Jesus, being our mediator, takes our prayer to the very throne of God. It's an absolutely spiritually mind-boggling concept to try to comprehend. To know that the Creator, through His Son, hears me. And so continue continue in prayer. There are individuals in the lives of each one of us that we simply love to be around. We love to talk to. We love to hear them talk. We love to engage in conversation with them. And sometimes it's hard to pull yourself away from someone because you love being with that individual so much. You want to continue with them. Reading a book recently in which the man was talking about his elderly mother and aunt, and that they had visited with one another, and now it was time for the aunt to leave. And he says, it takes old women a long time to say goodbye to one another. It starts in the living room, and then it picks up again in the kitchen, and then it goes on for a little longer in the driveway, and then once the one who's leaving gets in the car, the window's rolled down, and it keeps going on, because these people are continuing with one another. Continue in prayer. Keep talking with God. Got places to do, people to see, and all sorts of things on my agenda. But does it take us a long time to say goodbye to God? Or do we just quickly leave and go about our day and our business? Do we want to just stay and talk some more like the old women do and the old men and sometimes the not so old? Do we want to just keep on talking and keep, oh, that reminds me of something else. Oh, and let me tell you about this. And oh, that makes me think of that. And did you hear about so-and-so? Is that how we treat God? Do we want to continue and abide in communication and connection with our Creator? And we just can't quit talking to Him. He doesn't mind. He wants to hear us. He wants that relationship to be built and solidified and continued in. Continue in prayer. We need to continue in prayer. Number four, let us continue abiding in the Son, the Savior, the Son of God, Jesus the Christ. As we have talked this evening, we have talked about continuing in the faith, continuing in the goodness of God, continuing in prayer, but now continuing in the Son of God Himself. Continuing in our Savior. In 1 John chapter 2, we're going to read a text here that will help us understand this and begin to make some applications of it, of the necessity of what we are trying to point out by continuing in the Son. Just like continuing in prayer and continuing to develop that relationship with the Father, we want to continue in the Son. We want to be Jesus-minded. We want to have a holy outlook and holy mindset that we filter everything that we do and think and everything that our lives revolve around through Jesus. We continue in the Son. Now, when we look at our text that in 1 John chapter 2, we read some fascinating things that I think will help encourage us to do this. As we look, I want you to begin reading at verse 21. 1 John 2, verse 21. And John says to the Christians of 2 millenniums ago and to us today, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you. And there's one of our operative words about abide or continue. Let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide or continue in the Son and the Father. But keep reading. And this is the promise that He has promised us, eternal life. And we know these things because it is of the truth, verse 21, and we abide in the Son. Notice how three times the word abide or continue is repeated in our key verse, which is verse 24. Abide, abide, and continue in the Son. These things, verse 26 tells us, verse 25, the promise is eternal life. Verse 26 says, these things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. And you go back up to the verse we read earlier about those who deny, in verse 22, that Jesus is the Christ. And this philosophy, this teaching, is identified as Antichrist. That's not one particular individual that is going to stand out in all the history of man. That is anyone at any time in the history of the world of Christianity who denies that Jesus is the Son of God. Many in the religious world have tried to identify the Antichrist as one particular individual, and that it is the Antichrist, and that it's one person, one individual who stand, and it represents one person. It's not that way. It's anyone who denies that Jesus is the Son of God. Because when you do that, you not only deny Jesus, you deny the Father who sent Him, you deny the whole package. In fact, if you read back a little earlier than where we started in verse 21, the Apostle John says there are even Antichrists right now that they were dealing with. So it wasn't yet future for them. They were dealing with it right then at that day. But anyone who will deny that Jesus is the Son of God, anyone who will deny that Jesus is the Christ, anyone who will deny that Jesus is the Savior, is anti-Christ. Because he denies Him. It's more of an adjective than it is a noun. Because it describes this person's mindset. And as you continue reading in the text, when we come back down to where we were a moment ago in verse 26, there were some who tried to deceive you. Maybe into thinking that Jesus isn't the Son of God. But then verse 27, the anointing, we'll talk about that word in a moment. The anointing which you have received from Him abides, there's our word again. Continues or abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in Him. About six times in the span of just a few verses, a couple of sentences, the word abide occurs, and it's all in the context of abiding in the Son. There were people in John's day, and there are people still in our day, who deny that Jesus is real. They deny that Jesus is the Son of God. And in essence, whether they admit it or not, they are really denying God as well. And they're denying the Spirit of God. Because it's a package deal. You can't pick and choose. And to deny Jesus is to not continue in Him. To not abide in Him. But we have something, John says to these people, that has taught us that is completely true and is not a lie. Now, in John, the word that is used in probably all, if not the majority of our translations, in verse 27, and it's a little earlier up in the text too, before the point where we started reading in verse 21. But verse 27, the anointing which you have received abides in you. It would appear that in the context as we understand this, it is there are those who deceive and there are those who are false teachers that are teaching doctrine and philosophy. But on the other side of the coin, there
is an anointing, what's called an anointing here, that is not a lie and that teaches the truth and that affirms that Jesus is the Christ.
In the first century, they did not yet have the completed written New Testament like you and I have. But there were various individuals in New Testament congregations of the first century who were supernaturally or miraculously endowed with the ability to teach and preach. And it would appear here, when we put it together with what Jesus says in John 14, 15, and 16 about the gift of the Holy Spirit and the teaching of the Holy Spirit filling these individuals, the apostles, and then those on whom they laid their hands, that this supernatural teaching, which was not a lie, but was the truth, and affirmed that Jesus was the Christ and that Jesus was the Son of God, that the anointing that is referred to here would describe the miraculous ability, the supernatural ability that various individuals had to teach and preach the truth. Not the ideas of men, not the opinions of men, but the truth. Notice how the text tells us, if it abides in you, you have no need of anyone to teach you. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is teaching you through the inspiration that it gives to these individuals. The same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true, and emphasizes again, and is not a lie. And that truth, that teaching that comes directly from God, and here John calls it an anointing, enabled these people to hear and understand that Jesus was the Son of God and that Jesus was the Christ. And if these things are true, and indeed they are, and since these things are true, we come back to verse 24, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. So what do we need to continue in? The Son. Jesus, the Christ. And by so doing, we also continue in the Father, and we continue in the Spirit, who taught us all these things as true and that they are not a lie. So continue in the Son. It is not that my Christianity and my relationship to Jesus only manifests itself on Sunday morning. It is not that I only show my Christ-like qualities and talk about Jesus and carry my Bible and read from it and engage myself in Bible discussions on Sunday morning or Wednesday night. I continue in Christ. I continue in the Son, and I continue in the Father continuously. My life revolves around the Son, Jesus. It is not that I approach life from the standpoint of where can I work Jesus in? Where do I have time and room for God? It is that my life is Jesus. My life is God. And I try to work everything else around them because they are number one. And I am continuing in them. Yes, family is important. Yes, occupations are important. Yes, civic and neighborly responsibilities are important. But number one, at the top of the list, is my Savior and the Father who graciously gave Him to me. And I continue in Jesus. I continue in the Father of Jesus, the Father of us all. I continue in the Spirit that has taught me all these things as true. I continue in all the things we have discussed this morning and this evening
And that is my life. And everything else is secondary. And everything else revolves around Jesus. And I truly become what I say I am, a Christian. These aren't just words. It's not just an empty identity. It is who I am and what I do. It is Christ, because I continue in Him. And to these first century Christians, the Apostle John, through inspiration, wrote to these people who had heard the gospel, who had believed in Jesus, who had repented of their sins, who had been immersed in the name of Jesus, who were members of the first century church, and encouraged them with all his might. 6 times the word abide. Abide, 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 abide. Continue in what you've heard. Continue in what you have learned. Continue in Jesus. Now, I have little doubt that if the Apostle John was 2,000-something years old and he stood right here where I'm standing tonight, he would tell all of us the same thing. And he would encourage all of us, if you have never made that connection, and if you have never started that relationship with the Savior, to start the process of continuation today. Believe the gospel, obey the gospel, and continue in Jesus. And what John said, I say now, and we encourage anyone here who needs to continue, who wants to continue, and who will continue. Remember the promise, eternal life. Would you come as we stand and we sing?